Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? After a marathon 3 days of the NFL draft, we are finished. This is J.P. Finley. This is Redskins Talk Podcast. My guy Rich Tandler is here. Tandler, how you doing, man?
Doing okay. We're doing much better after I get a little more sleep. But other than that, I'm doing just fine.
Good for you. I think we both need some sleep. It's been late nights. Thursday night was late in Ashburn. Friday night was late in Ashburn. Today, we had to split up our dynamic duo. I was out at FedEx Field all day for the Redskins draft party. Tandler, you were in Ashburn for all the picks and all the Jay Gruden conversation. Everything go well out there?
Everything went fine. It was smooth. It was a relatively small and diehard crowd there with just a few of us. With, of course, they have in the everybody kind of splitting up between FedEx Field and there. It was just kind of the hardcore of us in the media room.
All right, good deal. Here's what I want to do. The draft is over. The Redskins have all their picks. I'm going to read everybody's name, and then, Tandler, we can talk about it. I got some notes here. I'm sure you have some stuff you want to talk about. First-round pick, Deron Payne, University of Alabama. Second-round pick, Darius Geis, Louisiana State University. Third-round pick, Jerron Christian from Louisville. Fourth-round pick, Troy Apke from Penn State. Fifth-round pick, Tim Settle from Virginia Tech. Sixth-round pick, Sean Dion Hamilton from Alabama. Two seventh-round picks. Early in the seventh, they took Greg Stroman from Virginia Tech. And the final pick in the NFL draft, after a couple trades, belonged to the Redskins, and they took wide receiver Trey Quinn out of Southern Methodist University. Some of you may notice that there is a nickname often applied to that pick. I am not going to use that because I think it's kind of BS and I think it's become overdone. Tandler, where do you want to start? You want to start overall impressions of the draft, or do you want to start, is there one player that jumps out to you?
Well, actually, the guy that gives me the overall impression of the draft.
Tim Settle, I'm guessing.
It was Tim Settle. You know, I asked Jay, you know, I don't think they intended to take another nose tackle there. I don't think they did not think he would be there.
He shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, you know, he was a third round guy. You know, I could see him maybe slipping into the fourth, but not at that part of the fifth round. And you know, so I, you know, that really gave this draft a boost in terms of physicality. And that's the term that Jay used. You know, you've got Deron Payne, obviously big physical guy. Darius Geis, a physical runner. Apke, the safety out of Penn State, will hit some people. Settle is just a monster in the middle. Stroman is not real big, but he plays like Virginia Tech defensive backs, physical, tough, and good technique. So I think that really kind of, you know, started this team into, you know, maybe going back a couple of years, now that I think of it just off the top of my head, you know, what Scott McLuhan would talk about wanting big guys, you know,
football
big
players
guys win right. against small guys, football players. So I think they kind of they took that turn today and started becoming, you know, not they didn't have physical guys there to begin with, but started becoming a more physical team by design. I don't know if it's been so much by design before. This seems to be more by design.
Right, and I'm going to say this unequivocally so I don't come across as a homer. We don't know what the hell any of these guys will become. They could all flame out. One of them could make the Hall of Fame. We don't know. It's entirely you said this last night, Tandler, that it's way too early to grade the players, but you can grade the strategy behind the selections. And looking at the selections, I think the Skins crushed this draft. And to your point, I think a lot of it hinges on Tim Settle in the fifth round. That's a guy the Redskins had in for a visit, clearly liked him. One other thing I wanted to point out, and you know this, RT, is that Torian Gray, the Redskins defensive backs coach, knows Tim Settle from Virginia Tech. They were both there 2 years ago. And they certainly knows Greg Stroman from Virginia Tech 2 years ago. And he's not, you know, the scouts come in with the scouting reports, but then the coaches have insight too. And there's no way those guys end up in the building if Torian isn't high on them. And then you see, maybe I'll try to pull it up real quick. The tweets, and DJ Swearinger is quick to tweet. Like, we should point that out. But DJ Swearinger on this draft says via Twitter, "This is really one of the best, most talented draft classes I've ever seen come in on paper. You know, anything can look good on paper. We got to make sure these youngins put in the work." And he's totally right. But, Tandler, this looks like, I mean, you can pick faults with any player. To me, though, the whole thing hinges on two guys, and it's Geis at 59. Geis was almost into the third round. There were, what, four or five picks before the second round ended?
Yeah, let's say 64. They have 64 picks in the first two rounds. So.
And they got him at 59. So he's four picks away. So Geis there and then Settle in the fifth. I think they've overhauled their defensive line, whether or not they intended to. You're now probably releasing two guys that were on the defensive line last year. And this is off the top of my head, Taylor. If I had to guess, knowing you, you're probably going to write about this. But you're going with Payne, Settle, John Allen, Matt Ioannidis, Anthony Lanier, Stacy McGee as your six?
Yeah, and, you know, that leaves, you know, then the question is, we discussed this in the media room today because we counted up those same six as you did. You know, not everybody thought McGee was a lock. I think McGee's a lock.
He played well
last year. But then you've got Ziggy Hood. You know, do you keep seven? They like Ziggy Hood a lot.
Ziggy Hood's also a leader, and all the guys we just named are young.
Yeah, and you're right, the veteran presence. So do they, you know, so they got to do one or two things, assuming everybody stays healthy, and that's a big assumption. You know, I think sure. McClain, I think Terrell McClain is probably gone. You know, it's a good thing they got rid of that guarantee on his salary.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that they were able to get rid of that guarantee, because now you see what's happened, and it's hard to see Terrell McClain in burgundy and gold come September, don't you think?
Right. Yeah. Because of injury, you keep all these guys through camp, see what happens. You know, Phil Taylor, I think his comeback story will be short-lived.
Well, Taylor, I'm guessing you agree with me. I'm rooting for Phil Taylor. I hope it works out. If Phil Taylor comes back and is able to play, that is a terrific problem for the Redskins to have. I just don't see it happening.
Right. So basically, you're
AJ Francis
go,
played well late in the year, but I don't know what's going to happen there.
I don't see that happening. So, you know, but basically, your situation is, assuming McGee is a lock, you're either going to have to cut Ziggy Hood or carrying an extra defensive lineman. They carried six into after the final cuts last year. So do they add a seventh? You know, that makes things a little tight. It also probably hurts your special teams to an extent. You're keeping a guy on there
right,
who is not going to contribute a lot on special teams, whereas you could keep it, you know, you're probably going to lose an inside linebacker, outside linebacker. You know, one of those two is going to have to go. So that makes it a difficult decision. But that's what those guys are paid to do.
Let me read this quote from Gruden on Settle as a fifth rounder. I'm still like, my jaw is hitting the ground that he was a fifth rounder. Jay Gruden asked if Tim Settle was too good of a value to pass up. That's what it boils. What's that?
That was my question, by the way.
All right, well, ask the question, and then I'll answer it in Jay's voice.
Okay. Jay, so Tim Settle in the fifth round, just too good a value to pass up?
That's what it boils down to, really. He was highly ranked. My Gruden impression is terrible. I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to read it in my voice. That's what it boils down to, really. He was highly ranked on our board, and he was still there. And, you know, a lot of times you want to go by all the work you put in the offseason. Scouts put a lot of work in. Kyle Smith did a great job and the rest of the scouts. So he's another big body that can rush the passer a little bit, and he's really good against the run. I've said it before, you can never have too many big bodies. He's a talented kid to add to the mix with the other guys that we have that here. I think he'll be good. I have no argument with Jay Gruden, and though Mitch, the local celebrity, is not on this podcast, he is smiling ear to ear hearing Jay Gruden say you can never have too many big bodies.
That's right. And, you know, he had more sacks last year. I think he had 4 sacks last year. Not that sacks are for interior line that makes big a deal, of course. But he had 4 sacks last year. Daron Payne had 3 in his entire collegiate career.
Right, he had 3 in 3 years at Alabama.
Yep.
I think, I tell you what, man, Settle in the fifth. I wrote this down, and I'm not suggesting it as any sort of hot take. But I think it's a legitimate question. Is the value for getting Tim Settle in the fifth round higher than getting Darius Geis in the second?
I think it could be. I don't know if it'll have the difference is impact. You know, I think that if you didn't get Tim Settle, I think you're still pretty good on the line. I think Darius Geis will be a monumental help to the rushing game. So I think in terms of impact now, but yeah, just in terms of the value of a player where he, you know, could have gone, his realistic ceiling for being drafted, I think it was, you know, it was a 2, maybe a 3 round value. I saw Tim Settle in the late second in some drafts or in the top, you know, 60 or so in on some big boards. So,
But you know what,
him in the fifth round is a good deal.
You know what's kind of funky about all this, though, Tandler, is it's like the old Bill Parcells. You are what your record is. And we can talk about Settle in the fifth round as a total steal, and I think so, and you think so. But, like, every team in the NFL passed on him, including the Redskins, in the third round, in the fourth round. And some of that maybe was like they didn't need that position. It didn't make sense. But you have to consider all the factors. Kind of similar to Geis.
Sure, you know, not right. Every team's big board is different, which is different from Mel Kiper's, which is different from Mike Mayock's, which is different from everybody else's. So that's true. But you know, just the way we look at it, you know, again, we're media. We talk about things. We look at things. We're not on the, you know, inside. We don't get a look at the draft board.
Right.
But, you know, I think that, you know, I think you can still say that Settle, nobody would bat an eye if he'd gone to the third. Nobody would have said, oh, that's a horrible reach.
Oh, they reached. The right. Yeah. So we haven't done it. We haven't set the scene yet, Tandler. I'm going to set the scene, and this is with a nod to my friend Will Brinson, who, Tandler, I'm sure you know, is a CBS sports guy. Will, on his podcast, almost all the time talks about what beer he's drinking. And you and I have been working for basically a week straight. So I have a beer right now, Tandler. I'm drinking a Stone Ripper San Diego Pale Ale, and it's quite good. Maybe you're having
one. Sounds like it.
Are you having one, RT?
No, I'm not. I've got my bottle of Wegmans purified water in front of me.
I'm proud of you. So Tandler and I are actually both at home, I think. Are you at home, Tandler?
Yeah.
I am not quite in a lazy boy, but I am in a comfortable chair. And I feel like, for once, we're on equal ground. Are you in the lazy boy?
No, I'm my desk.
Wow. So I'm in a comfortable chair, and you're in an office chair.
Yeah.
What a weird world. All right, that's now we've set the scene. We can go a little bit of speed round on these guys, Taylor, because I think for both of us, Settle's the one that popped. But let's talk Troy Apke a little bit. The speed is what stands out, obviously. You got a white dude who's the fastest dude at the combine. It stands out. I think his immediate role is a special teamer. I'm not sure he's ready for NFL coverage, but when you can get that kind of speed, you kind of roll the dice. What do you think?
He did talk about special teams on the conference call, and that's where he will be. You know, because I don't think Xavier Moreau will step completely off of special teams, but if he gets a bigger role in the defensive backfield, and especially if he wins a starting job at some point during the either during training camp or during the season, he'll be doing less special teams. And I think Troy Apke, you get a guy who can step in there as that punt, as the punt team gunner, which was a big role for Moreau last year.
Yep.
So yeah, it'll be a lot of special teams, and yeah, he does have some work to do, but the 4-3-4 speed, you cannot teach. You can teach his technique. Talked about having to improve his angles in pursuit, which is obviously a critical thing for a safety to do. But you can't teach 4-3-4.
Right. It's like, in basketball, they always say you can't teach height. Football, speed kills, you can't teach it. I think Apke as a gunner seems like a very dangerous proposition. I think that could be of good value. I want to toot your horn a little bit, Tandler. And I believe it was your final 7-round mock, which is just an absurd thing to even try. I think you nailed a seventh round pick, which is crazy, and you deserve an accolade for that. Here, I'm presenting you with a gold podcast star for Greg Stroman, the Virginia Tech cornerback. Tell me what you think of the kid. I completely defer to you on this one.
He's not real big. He's pretty athletic, but he is a guy who paid attention and played a lot and paid attention for 4 years at Virginia Tech, who have put out some pretty good quality defensive backs over the last several years,
and can return punts.
Yes, exactly. That was my second thing, and return them well. He had an 11.3 yard average last year, 2 touchdowns on I think 35 returns. So I think they have to look at him there. I just don't know. We'll see about Jameson Crowder, whether he can get it done, and or B, if he really should be, if he's taking on a bigger role as a receiver. So, but he's definitely a guy you want to keep in mind for that role.
7 picks the last 2 years for Stroman. So Torian Gray definitely knows him. Here's my thing with late, especially 6th and 7th round picks. Nobody knows, man. You're throwing darts, and that comes down to a coach like somebody, a scout like somebody, and you're seeing if you can maybe get a hit. It's not about a home run at that point. It's really not even about a double. You're just trying to get guys that can make the team and contribute, and he seems like a good option.
I tell you what, if he's on the team 3 or 4 years, at some point, gets a key punt return for a touchdown or deep in territory to set up a score, that's a win in the 7th round. If he does nothing else,
yep,
that's a win with Greg Stroman. Anything he does above that is gravy.
All right, so Sean Dion Hamilton, I wanted to talk about a bit. I became friends with a guy at the Senior Bowl, Mike Young, used to play for the Cardinals. Works for Inside the Pylon Scouting. Good dude. He actually reached out to me after the pick and said, Hamilton, when he was fully healthy, and you got to go back at least a year, maybe two, to 2015.
Two.
2015.
2 years.
Right, when he was fully healthy.
Yes, yeah, because, well, and maybe up until a good chunk of the 16th season, I think it was in the ninth game that he suffered the torn ACL.
Right.
So it was up until, you know, the latter stages of the 16th season.
But, like, you look at the 2016 season, he had 9 tackles for a loss, 2 interceptions, 2 sacks. He was a guy that was fighting Reggie Ragland and Reuben Foster for playing time on that Bama Crimson Tide defense. I do not know this answer. You don't know this answer. But if you can get that guy healthy, he's a good football player. And
and if you can't, you've lost a 6-round pick.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
To me, that pick makes all the sense in the world to try. Because what do you lose? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
And, all right, the last pick in the draft, our boy Trey Quinn. And it's hard with college offenses because SMU plays some crazy air raid. I don't even know how to describe these offenses anymore. But the kid led the NCAA in catches. That counts for something.
Yeah, 114 receptions. Averaged about 10 yards a catch, so obviously a lot of, you know, a lot of quick slant, a lot of quick sideline, things like that, bubble screen, whatever. But, you know, that's like I said, it does count for something. And with the very last pick in the draft, that's, you know, yeah, you kind of look for something to hang your hat on.
Yep.
And you say, well, you know, okay, we gave a shot to a guy who led the NCAA in receptions instead of some, you know, a guard or somebody like that, which they didn't get, which we can talk about when there's a moment.
Well, hell, here's your moment. Go.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a little bit surprising. I think, you know, just sheer guessing, of course, that maybe in that fifth round is when they were looking to get a guard who maybe they could develop by to be able to start either by towards the end of this season or by next season. But I think that maybe they saw Settle there and said, look, you know, we can take a guard we had rated as a fifth or sixth round guard, or we can take Tim Settle, who we had ranked as a higher talent. So I think that could be why they bypassed that position. We'll just have to see how it develops. I've heard talk that they might sign a veteran, you know, find some guy for, you know, that'll play for $1.5 million. I haven't heard any names. But you know they're always out there.
Well,
so they might do that, or they can move Tyenseki inside.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Tyenseki, I think you and I both agree he is not capable of making that transition on a Monday to play the following Sunday. But if they started this week during mini camp, during OTAs to bring Tyenseki to be that left guard, maybe it could work.
Yeah, we'll see where he lines up. You know, but the thing is, they're not going to have guys to line up a tackle during OTAs. They're not going to have Trent. You're not going to have TJ Clemens. You're not going to have Morgan Moses. So, you know, you just kind of wonder about the time crunch and how you get everybody lined up there. Now, of course, they're going to have John Christian to line up there. I mean, there's no reason why you can't put him in there for OTAs, right? Right. You know, really kind of throw the kid to the fire. Hell, he's your third round pick.
Right.
Put him out there and see what see what he looks like doing that for you. It's not like it's going to get your quarterback killed because there's no contact.
What about I got a name for you, Taylor. What about Luke Jokel? I think he was like a number 2 or 3 overall pick.
I've heard that. Obviously, if he's still sitting out there on the market, he was a bust as the number 2 or 3 pick.
Right.
But yeah, that's a guy who's out there who people have heard of, and I'm sure he would sign for not a whole lot of money just to get a chance.
I got another guy who's still out there, Taylor.
Okay.
Sean Laval.
Yeah.
When he was healthy, and he was rarely healthy, but when he was healthy, he was out there.
He was out there. Put it this way, when he's healthy, he was better than the current alternatives on the roster.
Right. based on our killer analysis of that, I think we both need some sleep.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Here's the last thing, and you made this kind of argument, and I agree with it, and I like it. We're going to give a grade. We're not going to give a grade on what these players will become, but we're going to give a grade on what the Skins have done the last 3 days. And I'll start, and I'm going to say an A. I think between Geis in the second round and acquiring a third round pick by moving down, and I think Settle in the fifth, and I think every player having some attribute you can point to and be like, hey, that guy could help because of X. And whether that's, you know, a kid that made 115 catches at SMU, or it's a guy with killer speed, or whatever it is, there's nobody you point to and you're like, there's no way. There's nobody that they drafted that you know was just a draft pick. Every one of these guys in some capacity could make the team or make the practice squad. And I don't think you always walk out of a draft with that feeling. So, Taylor, I'm going A. You're up.
Okay, quick disclaimer. I will have my draft grades as my need to know, which will publish Sunday morning. So I haven't, at this point, I haven't really had a chance to dig through it like I will when I'm writing the article. So the grade I give now could differ from what is, what the one that goes in, it gets published on the
website. Taylor, don't worry. Who knows what time Pete will publish this podcast anyway? So you're good.
That's true. At least he didn't have to set it up for us.
Before you give your grade, though, let me say something real quick. Our whole Redskins crew, certainly the local celebrity Mitch Tischler, Pete, Chick, B. Mitch, Trevor Maddich was down here working for us with the draft. Everybody worked their ass off, and hopefully our folks that listen to the pod really enjoyed how much content we churned out. I mean, you wrote 100 articles. We were all doing all sorts of stuff. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it, because I know everybody worked really hard.
Yes, I give Pete a hard time, but he certainly did, along with the others you mentioned.
And Tim Shovers. Really, we don't thank Shovers enough either. Hard.
Shovers, yes. Yep. Please do not forget. He can make the sound funny if he wants to, so we should not forget him. Okay, but I think I will go A. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a reason to go be different and give it an A minus or a B plus. I can't. I'm gonna stick with I'll go with the A. And so, like I said, maybe when I dig into it tomorrow, it'll look a little bit different. But right now, I will give them an A. Just like I said, based on strategy, based on filling needs, based on the overall fit of the players they got, the talent, as you mentioned, the players they got. It's tough to go any place but an A.
All right, RT, tell the folks what to do.
Well, read my final grades tomorrow or today on Sunday in NBCSportsWashington.com. As long as you're listening, just find someplace, subscribe to the podcast, listen to the podcast, and tell your friends about the podcast.
Tell your friends. Taylor, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Get some sleep, brother. We both need it. I am going to tell everybody, thank you for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed our draft coverage. We gave it everything we got, and I think the Skins did really well. As always.
And it's not over. We got more analysis. Like I said, I got my grades, more analysis coming. So keep on.
Absolutely.
Keep on checking it out.
And we're going to, you know, we haven't even talked about UDFAs yet. There's going to be undrafted guys. There's going to be a lot more to come.
Right.
Here's what I'll tell you. We have lots of housekeeping to keep up on podcast-wise. That's coming. I don't know that we're going to have a podcast. We're going to have at least two guests this week giving us their grades. I'm hoping to get some national guys give us their grades on the Redskins draft. That's all coming for now. Just enjoy this. Read all of Tandler's stuff. I wrote kind of what I thought about the draft overall. Check that out. And thank you for listening. As always, made it this far. I owe you a beer.